1027 Business with Michael Avery.
The law feature on Hot Business is brought to you by leading full-service law firm Weber Wenzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with law firms across Africa, Weber Wenzel ensures that you have the best expertise wherever you do business. Now, as we pick through the detritus from last week's riots, I think many businesses are focusing on rebuilding and responding, and there are several questions that arise for business owners when it comes to the conduct of their employees during the crisis. Liesl Lowe is a partner at Weber Wenzel and specializes in employment law. Liesl, welcome to the show. As a starting point, what are the sorts of scenarios that employers are facing in the wake of the unrest?
Yes, it's very important that each scenario be dealt with according to its specific facts. But in broad strokes, I think there can be three possible scenarios. The first one, of course, where employers had to close down their workplaces as a result of the looting, violence, and or damage to property. The second scenario could be where employers had to close down their businesses who did not necessarily suffer this damage, but as a precautionary measure. And thirdly, employers who can keep on trading, but their employees are fearful going to work.
And that is very difficult to negotiate and navigate. So under scenario one, an employer has closed the workplace due to looting or damage to the property. What are the important legal considerations for employers to bear in mind here?
Yes. So, Michael, this is typically a situation where the law does not necessarily address the socio-economic impact of what has happened in South Africa. So in providing the legal principles, it is not suggested that this is, of course, implemented at all costs. But the straightforward legal principle is that when supervening impossibility of performance exists, in other words, there are circumstances beyond the control of contracting parties, in this case, employers and employees, that make either party not able to perform in terms of the employment contract, that the principle of no work, no pay can apply. So in straightforward terms, employers can say, due to supervening impossibility of performance, this wasn't foreseen, it's impossible for me to perform, and therefore I am released from paying your salary, which means for this period, whilst the supervening impossibility exists, no work, no pay will apply.
I see.
Of course, employers are urged to consider all other options. For instance, where people can work remotely, of course they won't be affected and they can continue working with full pay. But a lot of the distribution centers, the shops and so on that have been so severely affected, you know, do not have that luxury. Those employees cannot work from home. And there you can start looking as an employer at things like leave. For instance, bringing forward shutdown periods or implementing annual leave, or even if you can, implementing special paid leave. Another option is, of course, just a temporary reduction in pay. And I'm sure we'll get to it, but there is the question of government relief that will come up.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing. With this crisis, we've seen disruptions to supply chains through the COVID pandemic. So there is some experience to draw on here for employers as well. Do I have to provide for safe travel to and from work for my employees? Is that all part of the duty to ensure a safe working environment, or does that extend a bridge too far?
That does not fall within the legal responsibilities of employers in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. So you have a general duty to provide a safe and healthy workplace, which does not extend to transport to and from work. Employers who, however, have elected to provide such transport and who are in control of such transport will have to apply their considerations, to possible ways of keeping that transport safe.
Very interesting. Now, with scenario two, you've got your workplace, you've closed it, though, as a precaution to protect the safety of your employees and property. What do you need to bear in mind here?
Yes. So yeah, this is the measures that you can implement is largely the same as the measures we've discussed just now with the first scenario of supervening impossibility, but it's not a one-sided implementation. Yeah, because there is no impossibility of performance, the measures that you implement is implemented one-sidedly by the employer, and therefore you will need agreement from your employees or the employee representatives. So again, you can look at remote working. I think most of us are used to that by now, and that doesn't really require additional agreement. But if you start looking at implementing mandatory leave, bringing forward annual shutdown periods, implementing a special kind of leave or mandatory annual leave even, or a temporary reduction in pay, yeah, the difference is you will need to speak to your employees to get agreement, because as we all know, you can never one-sidedly change a contract, and this is what will happen here because it's a precautionary measure.
I think it's a very important distinction to make that. And then coming back to your earlier point about government relief, and TERS has been in the headlines lately, what is the latest status with regards to TERS and employers being able to rely on that kind of support from government?
Yeah, so claims are open until the 25th of July for employers who meet certain conditions, or let me rather say for employees who meet certain conditions. And this is, importantly, Michael, not linked to the recent looting and protests. This is just linked to the level 4 lockdown.
Right.
We're still waiting to hear if there's any special relief or grants linked to the looting and the protest. So what we have is just the usual TERS benefits with regards to level 4 lockdown for qualifying employees. Open until the 25th of July.
And what if, I mean, there's an interesting scenario that develops. If you see one of your employees involved in looting, can you dismiss an employee for something that has occurred outside of the workplace and the normal course of work, for looting or maybe even making inflammatory statements on Twitter to go out and retweet something from Duduzani Zuma, who said go out and loot responsibly, for example?
Yes, that is so interesting, and I think it's questions that many employers grapple with at the moment, and there's really two issues there. The first one is what employees do in their private time on their private devices on social media, and the second issue is if you recognize an employee being involved in criminal acts with regards to the looting and the protest. So even though we're dealing with really extraordinary circumstances and we're seeing scenes we've never seen before, we have established legal principles that should be applied and that employers should fall back on. And there are basically two considerations. Number one, conduct impact on the company's or the employer's reputation. And number two, does it impact on the relationship of trust? If the answer to one of those questions is yes, then employers can step in from an employment relationship perspective. The other important issue is please consult your social media policies, if you have one as an employer, and see what that provides for. But yes, the bottom line is extraordinary circumstances, but we have legal principles that can be applied.
Absolutely. Liesl Lowe, partner at Weber Wenzel, with the ins and outs of the employer-employee relationship and the various scenarios that arise from last week's looting and unrest. The law feature on Hot Business, brought to you as always by Weber Wenzel. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Weber Wenzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.